And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690K GGF Kyle High with you this morning. Hope you are having a fantastic day. And as promised, joining us in studio from the Wilson Medical Center, Janice Reese, and also Dr. Joel Meyer. And everybody, good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It's good to see you in studio today, Dr. Meyer. And we're going to be talking about several things today. One of the big things we would like to discuss, obviously, is, of course, COVID-19. We've been having a resurgence, particularly in this area. And one of the things I do want to ask you, though, is one of the best things to fight against this, obviously, is basically the vaccine. So what do we need to know about the COVID-19 vaccine?
So really the big things with the vaccine, we have three vaccines that are really available here in the United States. You know, you have the Johnson & Johnson, the Pfizer, and then the Moderna vaccines. Everybody kind of wants to know the difference between those vaccines. You know, the Moderna, the Pfizer vaccines, they're both made out of a complex kind of variant of DNA called mRNA. It's how the vaccines are made and what they do to generate their antigenic properties to create their immunity. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is used off of an older technology with kind of a inactivated virus type thing that they're utilizing. So all two of them are very similar in nature. The Johnson & Johnson is the only outlier. You know, the Johnson & Johnson is one shot. The Pfizer and Moderna are two shots. Now, everybody's kind of wondering which one's the best for them. Honestly, that gets down to individual preference. From my standpoint, you know, a lot of people are very nervous about this new technology, and that's what they tell us a lot. You know, well, I don't know. This hasn't been tested. It's new technology. You know, this is technology, honestly, that has been around for a very long time, and they've been utilizing this. This is the first time, though, that it's been commercially available in a vaccine. There's lots of reports of other places that have used this to develop different things for, say, animals and other models and stuff. That's how they were able to develop this pretty quickly. That does not bother me. The technology factor here, actually, I feel like these mRNA vaccines are probably safer than some of the vaccines we got when we were kids. And I even feel that it's a little bit safer and even developing a better immunology response to this virus. So that's I really push the Pfizer and the Moderna on my patients. I think that the Johnson & Johnson, while it is a good vaccine and it is showing effective in certain cases, is probably not my first choice for my patients. And, you know, but I'm just happy to get people vaccinated.
Absolutely. Yeah, I did get the Johnson & Johnson, but that was the one that was available to me the easiest. So what do we know about the safety of the vaccine?
You know, so far the vaccines have been very safe. The CDC has put in some really interesting, you know, kind of never before seen monitoring for all three of these vaccines. You know, that's why when we had some issues pop up with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine earlier this year, they were able to shut it down for a few weeks really quickly and say, well, we got to look at this. They reevaluated, figured out that it was very healthy, and then, you know, that it was safe, and then were able to get it started back up again. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. You know, if you look back in history with some of the mass vaccination things that they did, say with polio and stuff like that, there were always going to be issues with some problems. Nothing is 100% safe, and there's going to be somebody that has reactions to it. It's honestly, we just have to look at from, you know, you take this large population and you're going to have a small percentage that will have some reactions to it. And we've seen that. We've seen that in this area. You know, I don't know of any specific instances of, say, death that have occurred from this in this area, but I do know that there's been several reactions that we have had, one of which I know has required hospitalization out of our facility. You know, so I know that data pretty well. And we all work very, very well down here, like Wilson Medical Center. You know, we have clinics in the northern part of the county also. We also work very well with Coffeyville down here. So I know all, like me and the providers down here, we all work together very, very well to try to cover this Wilson-Montgomery County region. So we share that information back and forth. And I haven't heard of anything really scary. So for the most part, I think, you know, you might have a few site reactions. Things, arms might be a little sore. Some people are going to develop some flu-like symptoms for, you know, 12 to 24 hours, but then it goes away. That's what happened to me. That's what tends to happen to the majority of people. But we have had a couple of instances where people got a little short of breath, had to go to the hospital. We gave them some breathing treatments, some medication for that, and then they were able to go on. And they got their second shots. I know one of those individuals, that specific case, ended up getting their next second vaccine and were just fine, and they didn't have any issues.
With school coming up in August, the question is for a lot of people, is it safe for your child to get the COVID-19 vaccine?
You know, following, yes and no. As long as they're within the age groups that are being recommended right now, and honestly, that is changing so fast. You know, it's really easiest just to kind of look at each individual vaccine and where they're at for that day on what they're authorizing and what each state's allowing. Because I can't blanket what each state is allowing and stuff on that. But, you know, children, if they can be vaccinated, they should get vaccinated. I know that I sent my kids out to get vaccinated as soon as they could, and, you know, we haven't had any issues from that. I beg people to get their children vaccinated because it just is going to be one of their best defenses for that.
There's also been a question going around, people asking, if you're pregnant, can you get the COVID-19 vaccine? Is it okay to get it even if you are pregnant?
So, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, the information that's out there is variable. There are some providers that are saying that it's okay, some that are not. I personally am saying probably not to get it at this time for my patients, because I don't think the studies that are out there that they're doing on both lactating mothers and with pregnant mothers, I feel like the data is inconclusive. So from my personal standpoint, I do not recommend my patients that are pregnant to get this vaccine at this time. Now, if what I have been educating all of my patients that are of childbearing age, if you think that you're going to get pregnant in the near future, let's get your vaccine on board before you get pregnant. You know, let's do a little pre-pregnancy planning here, and let's do that ahead of time, because that's where I feel that's my safety zone right now as a physician. I don't do a whole lot with OB anymore. I used to a whole bunch when I was in Kansas City and delivered, but I don't now. But that's, I still counsel. I do a lot of pre-pregnancy counseling, and that's what I recommend. Let's get you vaccinated beforehand, and then let's really focus on what you want to do after that.
So we've heard on the news quite a bit about boosters that may need to happen in the future. They're saying don't need them yet, but how long does the protection from a COVID-19 vaccine last?
So that's another interesting thing, because we don't 100% know. You know, it seems like right now we're going to get at least, you know, somewhere between a year to 2 years of coverage out of this. That's been the latest information I have seen. But I would anticipate from what they're saying, we're going to look at maybe getting a booster at the year and a half to 2 year mark, maybe. It's all just kind of up in the air at the moment. But this is not going to be any different than like we do with the flu vaccine. You know, we recommend a flu vaccine every year. It just puts in a few more variants and things like that. That's where we're ended up, where this is going to hit. We're just going to end up with a little bit. The vaccine will be changed just a little bit. And then we're going to get our booster, you know, whether it's every year or every 2 years. That's really what I think the ultimate plan is going to be. But I haven't heard any definitive information on that.
So plenty of information there about the vaccine. And another thing that was talked about a lot is herd immunity. So what is herd immunity? We hear about that quite a bit.
So everybody talks about herd immunity. And really what herd immunity is that once you get a population that has been vaccinated or has actually had the disease enough, you end up in a situation where these people have recovered, they're healthy, or they've been vaccinated, and they really aren't going to get the disease and be able to transmit it. So you have this very small population of people that are unvaccinated, usually either you're really, really old or you're really, really young that haven't been vaccinated yet for it. And your overall herd health, your overall population health is good, and you don't have to worry about rapid transmission of it. That's what we usually achieve with the flu vaccine or with the flu virus every year itself. If we've just gotten to that point where we don't really transmit that disease anymore, or, you know, if we do, it's not in large numbers because we've achieved that kind of large pool of people that have had it or been vaccinated for it. And that's really kind of the goal of herd immunity, is to get everybody to that point where we're just not going to transmit it enough. You know, if there's three of us in this room and you two have had it, the chances of me getting it are very low because you two have already had it or been vaccinated against it. So you're not going to be carrying it around. If both of you haven't and I do have it, and, you know, the chances of you guys giving it to some, you know, to each other, or, you know, that changes the scenario there. So that's kind of the overall picture of the herd immunity.
Just trying to get the majority of the people to where they're kind of resistant to it. That way it doesn't spread as quickly.
Right.
Also, we've been dealing with variants that have entered the United States and around the world. There's been tons of variants. There's been, of course, the beta variant and the gamma variant. But the one that is kind of dominating right now is the Delta variant, which has just been spreading like wildfire here in the U.S. And it's also been decimating India as well. What do we know about this Delta variant? It's pretty bad.
So the Delta variant, it's not necessarily any more dangerous than the original COVID-19 virus. What has happened is, though, is that the variant has occurred in the spike protein. The spike protein is really a protein that helps the virus get into our cells. So a virus essentially infects your body and takes over your body's cells and machinery to make copies of itself. It's just how it works. What this spike protein does is really help it get into the body's cells. And that mutation that has occurred in this Delta variant on that spike protein has allowed this to just spread like wildfire. So previously we saw that if you had the COVID-19 virus, you were probably going to give it to one, maybe two people before we caught it, you got sick, and we were able to shut it down pretty quickly, get you in quarantine, that kind of thing. With this, it spreads so quickly and it gets into people so fast, and you're going to probably infect, you know, anywhere from three to four to five people before we know. And so that's why it's just spreading so fast. Now, the other thing that we've seen with this is that people that have been vaccinated may be able to get this again, which we knew that was going to happen. You know, just because you've been vaccinated from the flu doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. It just helps with it. But what we've seen is that the people that have had this, and we have had lots of cases in this area of people that have been vaccinated that did get it, but they have had very, very mild symptoms. I actually had one patient that did have this. They ended up hospitalized for a couple of days, but they were able to get out right away, and they had very mild symptoms. And that's what we've seen with the people that have been vaccinated for COVID-19. This Delta variant just hasn't hit them as hard. They're still a little sick for a couple of days, but then they've been able to move on. What we've really seen, though, is it is just decimating the younger populations and the older populations that have not, and kind of that, you know, mid-30s to 50 range that have not been vaccinated. The people that have chosen not to be vaccinated are really just getting chewed up with this. I spoke with a nurse that works in Bartlesville, and they've just been getting overwhelmed at times with the young people that have been coming into their emergency rooms. I have not worked the emergency room in a couple of weeks. My shift's coming up here in a couple of weeks for my next round. And, you know, but we've seen it in our ERs too, just lots and lots of young people with it. We're seeing it in the offices quite a bit too. And it's kind of scary because it is hitting them so young, but we have done a very good job, all of the healthcare providers in Southeast Kansas, you know, and I could just go through the list of physicians and, you know, nurse practitioners and PAs that are down here, that we all are pretty much on the same page of our treatment regimens and stuff. And so we've been able to be very successful keeping people out of the hospital down here, even the younger people, but we're seeing a lot of it. And it is scary. It's scary for parents. It's scary for everybody, you know. even as a physician, you know, walking in the door, sometimes you're like, oh man, that just, you know, you get a little nervous when you see that kid struggling to breathe. But we've got really good, our treatment modules and modalities have just been so wonderful that we've kept them out of the hospital pretty successfully down here. You're always going to have that outlier that's going to get really sick, but it's not that this one's just so much more dangerous. It's just, we spread it so much more rapidly. And, you know, again, it's always going to get back to, and I know people get tired of hearing about the vaccine, but if we can get vaccinated, it just gives us that layer of defense against this and gives us a fighting chance for a lot of things. The other things that, you know, everybody is probably suffering from mask fatigue, and I, you know, all of us are just sick and tired of hearing about masks, but really, you know, that's one thing we were talking about school earlier. As we head into school, you know, probably a lot of schools have done away with their mask mandates and stuff. But if kids and parents want to be safe, I would still recommend wearing a mask for, you know, and carrying gallons of hand sanitizer everywhere and do that. But
it's not that the Delta is more dangerous. It's just more contagious.
Absolutely.
So it's able to get into the system a lot easier than the original virus, which every virus mutates at some point during the season, does it not?
Absolutely.
What are we doing to kind of learn more about these variants and basically how best to protect ourselves again?
So, again, down here in our area, it's not entirely feasible for us to send, you know, if you're in a metro area, a lot of our data comes off of these large data centers, you know, Kansas City, Topeka, Wichita, Tulsa, where they have the ability to send off their samples very quickly for differentiation on the variants that it could be, whether it's Alpha, Delta, Epsilon, any of those. We don't necessarily have that testing capability readily available to determine the variant, but it doesn't affect our treatment either down here. So we have chosen, you know, I think we send a handful off as the state requests to have samples sent to them so we know what variants we're dealing with. But otherwise, what we really push for is, you know, if you have symptoms, get in, see us, we're going to test you, we're going to identify you, get you on quarantine, and then, you know, start the treatment modalities that we like to do. You know, we have monoclonal antibodies. A lot of physicians and providers are using the ivermectin. You know, I'm not 100% sold on that, but I've read a lot of good things about it. You know, there's all of these different things out there. You know, we use a good respiratory treatment panel where we get on some good inhalers and medications and stuff right away to really help with that. Overall, though, again, to protect ourselves, get vaccinated. If you're going to be in crowds of people, wear a mask. You know, I'm at the point now where I'm like, go to concerts, go do stuff, go have fun, go see a baseball game. The Royals could use your support. But really, go do those things and have fun and live life, but be safe about it. You know, it's okay to wear your mask until you're sitting at your seat with just you and your family and stuff. It's okay to do those things. It's okay to get out, you know, go support the Red Ravens, get out there, see the game, see everything, but just be safe about it. Wear your mask when you're in those crowds of people and stuff. Fair and rodeo season's coming up, where, you know, all of us are probably expecting to see a whole bunch of cases rise just because of that. But as much as I want to say don't do those things, at the same time, I think we're all at a position where we need to get back to some form of normal life. And the best way to do that, let's go do those things. Let's just wear a mask. Let's wash our hands. Be safe. Good hygiene. Life will be good.
Absolutely. So, again, we're talking to Dr. Joe Meyer, who with the Wilson Medical Center, and we appreciate you coming in today, sir. And Janice, again, we appreciate you coming in today. But if anybody has any questions or would like more information about the Wilson Medical Center, how can they do that?
Well, thank you, Kyle, first of all, for letting us come today. And they can reach out to Wilson Medical Center at 620-325-2611. And if they are wanting to visit more or get in touch with Dr. Meyer, he can be reached at either the Cherryvale Clinic, which their number is 620-336-2131. And in Neodesha, at the Neodesha Family Medicine, it is 620-325-2622. So he would be welcome to visit with you about anything that you need to talk about. We appreciate Dr. Meyer coming in today. He's got a wealth of information about the COVID vaccine and also just on how to be treat for it, what symptoms to look for. So anyway, we appreciate you coming, and like Dr. Meyer said, go out there and enjoy those fairs and rodeos and supporting your teams this coming fall. I think that's real important. We're getting schools about to start up, and so anyway, anything that we can help with, just let us know, and we'll be glad to help.
Absolutely. Well, again, Janice and Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.